Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
You bet one bone to win 19? What site do you use where you can actually bet $1?
They let you do 50-cent bets.
Oh my goodness, Greg.
Yeah, literally, like, he dropped Superman down, like, the drain, comes out, like, God damn it, Superman. I don't know, honey, I don't know where he got that from.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City.
Part of the DITCOW Sports Network.
Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios at the home of champions, Southern California. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2021, and boy, was it a long time coming. Well, it was a rough year, and I guess it's been a rough week in a way, too. But we are hopeful for a better 2021, and we will be thankful to give you the world of sports during this year of 2021, and more shows to come, no doubt about it. So I'm glad to have you with us. I want to tell you about a show that we're doing together, Kevin and the Cape and I, and it is a separate program from this program. So you'll hear the two of us soon, but you're not going to hear the two of us on this particular show. I would like to introduce you to a new venture that we call Screening Giants. And this is a program where Kevin on the Cape and I, he'll just be known as Kevin on this show, and I'll just be known as Dave on that show too. But we're going to be reviewing sports documentaries and probably other shows on top of that, or other movies. That's the idea. This will in essence be a movie review program. We've had movie review programs on the podcast, in the podcast world already, but this would be the first of its kind where we put an emphasis on sports movies and sports documentaries. I think that'll be very interesting. It might be that this branches out to things beyond the world of sports. I think you'll hear more from our host, Kevin, when he gets into it and when you hear the first episode. So I want to point you to that. It is Screening Giants. We haven't even done our first episode as we record this program, but we're going to pretty soon. And you'll see it probably within the next few weeks. On your socials. If you're looking for our program, just look for Screening Giants on Apple Podcasts. It's not available yet, but it will be in short order. You can also find the program at screeninggiants.podbean.com, screeninggiants.podbean.com, and on Twitter at Screening Giants. So Kevin is really excited to do this new show. This will be a fun time, and we promise to give you the utmost quality as we get going with that scenario. Coming up pretty soon. So we are here to do a special football preview. John in Connecticut's joined us for that, and we'll be introducing him in just a moment. We'll give you an update on what happened in the football picks, and it also is time for America's favorite moment in sports talk podcasting.
Do the dance. It's time for random questions.
Good stuff.
In the city with Kevin on.
That's right, everybody. We're doing a sort of a hybrid show today. It's going to be a football show and an RQ show. So to join us for all of it, John in Connecticut's with us here. John, as he and I are watching the Century Tournament of Champions. How's it going, John?
Doing well, Dave. Hope you had a good holiday season. Back in the swing of things, I imagine. So, enjoying to have some golf back on the TV. And definitely primetime golf. You can't go wrong with that. So
yeah. It's a good spot. I was like, wow, it hasn't started yet. And then I realized that it's actually from Hawaii. So we're going to see this thing all night. Good stuff. I want to thank you for your participation, not only in this program tonight, but also in the contest that we had. And plus, you're letting me in on the football pools. It's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed
it. Yeah, Dave, congratulations, by the way, for everyone listening. Dave was the champion this year in the football league. First time playing, and he's the champion, which is a tremendous season.
Thank
and
you.
It just, yeah, I mean, the way it played out, too, just it was, you were kind of, it was meant for you to win after you got that San Francisco Seattle over to come in 9-6 heading into the fourth quarter, and what it was like 40 points in the fourth quarter. That was crazy.
That was.
So that's what we really wanted for you. And then you know, the way we do it is if two players have the same record, we do a selected score on a game or a total score on a selected game. So obviously we chose the Sunday night football game, and Dave had 41 points and his opponent, my dad, actually had 44, and the score is 17-14 at half. And I'm saying to myself, it's going to be looking tough here for Dave. And then Doug Peterson pulls his shit and puts in Nate Sudfeld to hand you the title, essentially. But it's all good. It, like I told you before, I'm glad that it wasn't a scenario where, like, you had two wins and someone had zero. And it just, you know, both of you did very well. And, you know, it just comes down to a little bit of luck, which is all it is at the end. So congratulations, Dave. And, yeah, it was a great season. Obviously, I hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, got you into the golf pool now. And, you know, it's good stuff indeed, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks. And, yeah, it really was. And huge congratulations to your dad, too. I mean, that's a great run. He was really good all year. Really good.
Yeah, what was, like, kind of yours? I guess I was tracking your picks, obviously. But you seem to kind of have a little bit of the same strategy that I did. I mean, I flamed out completely with my week, but overall, for the overall season, I did pretty well. Is just kind of going against the grain on a bunch of picks, because with the NFL, it's just, you know, you're more often than not, if you're fading the public or the high percentage plays, you're going to end up doing well most of the time. That it seemed to me anyway, that's kind of where you went with your side bets. You did a lot of totals, much more so than a lot of people. So I'm just kind of interested to know your thought process when you went into a week.
That's definitely it. Yeah, I was very much trying to fade the public on a lot of these. I'm just in general, I'm just not a fan. I try to stay away from favorites. Like, I've always felt like there's more value with underdogs. And there are certain principles that I applied during the season. And I think a number of people do this. But divisional underdogs is a big one for me. I really like to look at divisional games. And, you know, your fade Cliff Kingsbury meme was, or your trend was a good trend. And I was like, oh, my goodness. What if John took the Rams without their quarterback? Did you do it? Did you take that?
I did. Yeah, nice. I did take them. But I took them straight up, so that was a win. But I had a nice teaser. I had the Rams plus 7, Denver plus 8.5. I'm forgetting it off the top of my head. I had a third team that won. Oh, Tampa minus 1. So those three teams that were in, and the fourth team I took completely blew my teaser. The New York Jets. I deserve to lose for taking the Jets. Even plus 9. I thought the way the Patriots had been playing, I thought at least it would be a 7-point game. And there are the Jets up 14-7 in the second half. And I'm thinking, oh, all right, I'm going to get my four-team teaser here, and they just completely shit the bed in the second half.
That's insane. Ooh. You're right. Yeah. I saw they were winning, and I was like, man, wow, rough day for New England. Boy, who knew? But you know, John, it really was a fun year, and, you know, it was a great job out of you, too. You were in the playoffs, and it was a good spot. So that's pretty much what I was doing, just finding underdogs and, you know, home underdogs, division underdogs. And then the totals were just really a matter of, I thought this total was too high or I thought this total was too low. So really, we see eye to eye in a lot of it.
Yeah.
But pretty good. So the season ended on a bang. I was surprised that we had as much juice as we did, because after last year's week 17, that really looked like how is 2020 week 17 going to live up to that? But it did, like, especially the late window. It was really great. Do you have any thoughts on last week's action?
Yeah. Trying to think back now to Sunday. The Packers obviously did what they had to do, and they clinched the one seed. So I'm very, very excited about that. You know, not going to say that, you know, nothing's guaranteed in football. So they got to win the two games to get to the Super Bowl, but this could be the first time ever in Aaron Rodgers' career that they've hosted an NFC championship game, which would be just tremendous. And they're playing on such a high level. Their defense is actually playing much better. If you had told me before their game against the Titans that they would have held Derrick Henry to like 90 yards, I would have not believed you at all. And they did a pretty good job of stopping him. And really, just, you know, that was a statement game, I think, just to kind of show that they're a legit contender. Not that they weren't anyway, but I think people were kind of, you know, souring on maybe their defense, or, you know, is Rodgers really keeping this up? Well, I mean, I think he pretty much clinched the MVP award, and their defense is playing better. So, you know, they got two games at home, and their potential opponents, I mean, You got two older quarterbacks possibly going in there with Breeze and Brady. Teams coming from the South, dome teams. I mean, I like their chances. Not to say that they couldn't lose, because certainly, you know, anything can happen in one game of football. But I think they have to be considered the favorite to get to the Super Bowl right now, which is very exciting. So hopefully they can finish off the run. As far as some of the other games in Week 17, I mean, you know, we all saw how the NFC East played out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand what the Giants players are angry about, because Peterson clearly tanked that game in every way, shape, and form. But at the same time, the Giants, you're 6-10. You had an 11-point lead on the Eagles in Week, I don't know, what was it, 6 or 7? The game where Daniel Jones fell stumbling into the end zone, you know, on his long run. And then he had a wide open Slayton who dropped the ball on a long pass. And if they had won that game, they would have won the division. So, like, I don't want to hear it. You know, you're 6-10. Like, I mean, every other team that was 6-10 was pretty much tanking themselves in Week 17. You know, it's like, you don't deserve to cry, essentially. Yes. Like, if you'd made the playoffs, whatever, but you don't deserve to cry about that scenario.
Could not agree more. I mean, you have nothing to complain about if you're 6-10. I was like,
right, exactly.
You know, it's like ridiculous.
Let me see, what else was the drama? Oh, yeah, the AFC South had a bunch of drama, obviously, with the Titans and the Colts battling it out. And it was funny because, you know, you had the Texans, and I really liked that pick. When I saw the matchups and I saw you were head-to-head with my dad on the Texans-Titans, I said to him, well, I kind of like Dave on this side, because – just the Titans defense is just not very good at all. And you figure the Texans would be able to play it close. And, like, again, your angle of a home division dog, basically their Super Bowl playing to spoil someone, they would be able to keep that pretty close. And just the two offenses of those teams, no one's going to be stopped. And that was just a tremendous game. You know, Tannehill gets the long pass at the end of the game after Houston ties it to get the game winning field goal, and they win it. And Indy held off Jacksonville, obviously. You know, they got a late touchdown there for insurance. So that was an exciting kind of few minutes. You know, I mentioned Green Bay clinch, but you had the whole Green Bay, Seattle, New Orleans scenario playing out for the first seed. And Green Bay obviously got that, and Seattle and New Orleans are number 2 and 3. Tampa clinched earlier in the day, the fourth seed. And that was important too, because of they get to play the NFC East winner. Although, as we might talk about, I mean, it's not really a great matchup against Washington with how their defense is, the defensive line especially. And then, you know, you mentioned the Rams and the Cardinals. Yeah, Kingsbury is just such a clown. I mean, I don't know if you saw the end of the game. Like, Murray is clearly gimpy, because he was in the beginning of the game, then he kind of either aggravated something or they took him out. The backup was in, and he stunk. On it, I had legit never heard of their backup before, the backup quarterback for the Cardinals. And
is that
it turns
the guy
out
from the CFL?
Yeah, CFL quarterback. I thought I knew, like, every backup quarterback in the NFL. I legit didn't even know this guy was on the roster, but, you know, he wasn't that great. But then at the end of the game, Kingsbury, they're running a speed option with Murray, who can't move. Like, he can't move, and they're running, like, option plays with him to run. It was just so dumb. And then he's punting on 4th and 20 on the 50-yard line. Like, dude, I get it. Like, you're probably not going to convert it, but legit, your season is over if you don't try to go for this. Like, who cares if you don't get it? Like, you're not going to get another play until September. He is just, you know, they could be a dangerous team with the correct coaching. So Kingsbury is kind of like, you know, Dan Quinn and Matt Patricia and some of these other coaches that ultimately got fired. We want him to stay on as long as we can, the Arizona Cardinals, so we can reap the rewards of fading him as a favorite. I will say, as an underdog, I wouldn't mind backing him as an underdog in some spots, but as a favorite, there's no way I'm taking Kingsbury. And that was the perfect scenario situation the other day. The Rams defensive line just dominated. I mean, really, what's the difference between Goff and Wolford? Goff had been so bad lately.
Right.
You know, they just kind of leaned on their defense even more in their running game. It wasn't much of a difference. So that was – when I saw that line get up to like 3.5, I mean, that was just way too much of an overreaction. But, the Rams did what they had to do, and, you know, they're in the playoffs now. So the Bears end up getting the 7th playoff spot because of that game, which is – So I love the idea of the three wild card games each day on Saturday and Sunday. I think it's great. However, like, I really could do without seeing the Bears. Like, really? Like, we don't need to see the Bears. But we'll sacrifice it for the matchups we have in the AFC, yeah, which are just tremendous. On every, you know, every one of them is good. And then I guess the earlier in the day, the Browns just barely hang on to beat the Steelers and clinch their spot. And, you know, obviously sets up a rematch for this weekend. And, you know, we can get into that. But, you know, good for the Browns. I mean, they deserve to be in after the year they had. So that was a good job out of them. And then Baltimore just steamrolled Cincinnati. I don't think anyone was surprised about that. So, yeah, it was lots of juice for week 17. And, yep, you know, the NFL continues to, you know, they do a great job. I think, I don't know how long ago it was that they moved to the all division format for week 17. I want to say like 7 or 8 years ago that they moved to that. Cause I remember watching games at week 17 and you have like a, you know, it'd be like an AFC NFC matchup and the teams wouldn't care. And it would just be not much juice at all. The division games in week 17 definitely brings a, you know, forces teams to try, I would say, for the most part, even if they're out of it, because they're trying to spoil a rival season in most cases. You know, if it's an AFC-NFC game, like, who gives a shit if, you know, Denver's playing Atlanta and Milan last week? I mean, no one really cares either way. So, yeah, so I think that was a great calculation by them. And, you know, we'll see. Next year, it could be week 18 if they get that 17th game into the mix, which, you know, I mean, we'll all love an extra week of football. And I guess the rotation they would do is it would be another AFC-NFC game. So in addition to the, like, one division playing another, all four teams, the one division would be matched up against another division, first place through fourth place on the previous season. So from what I saw, just for example, it would be the NFC North and AFC West. So that means we'd get a Packers-Chiefs game next year, which that'd be pretty awesome. So if we're getting kind of matchups like that, I'm in favor of it. So we'll see if the NFL ends up approving it in the offseason.
I do know that there's going to be an expansion of the playoffs because having just one bye is weird. I think it's just a sort of a middleman to an eventual, 16-team playoff, you think?
I don't know if they'd go that far. I don't know. That's 16 is a lot.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's half the league.
I mean, you're almost getting into, like, NBA territory, yeah, where, you know, like, the Lakers are playing some team that's 10 games under 500, and, you know, it's going to be a sweep. Like, why even bother, you know?
Yeah, right, right, for sure. I guess you're right about the Saints and Bears, because that's, like, the closest to that. But for whatever reason, yeah, we'll get to that. We're going to get to that. I feel like it could be closer than people expect. But let's get to it. This is it's time for our NFL wildcard preview. And in this preview, we'll take a look at the games that are coming up this weekend. It is a pretty neat format, though, as you mentioned, it does lend itself to some rubble in the middle. But if you take a look at what's to come here, I mentioned it just a moment ago, only one seed in each conference gets a bye week. And that sucks for the Bills. The Bills really had a great season. They deserved a bye. It's too bad. That's really too bad. That stinks. But you get three games on Saturday, three on Sunday. And as I mentioned also, a 14-team playoff. The two teams with the bye, your Packers, John, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who both were pretty good this year. So let's look at the schedule. We start with Saturday. You've got the number 7 Colts and the number 2 Bills on CBS to start. Then you've got the number 6 Rams against the number 3 Seahawks. Bear in mind, a lot of these don't have fans. These games don't have fans. The Bills game does, but the Seahawks game will not. So it won't be that obvious an advantage for the home team here in the NFC game. 4:40 on Fox. And then number 5, the Bucks against the Washington football team at 8:15 Eastern time on NBC. I did not check to see where Al and Chris are going. I don't know if they're doing this one or if they're doing the Steeler game. But we'll start with these Saturday games. Let's take a look at your thoughts on all three of these, John. What's your thought, and who do you like in each of these matchups?
All right, yeah. We'll go right down the line. So Colts and Bills, I'm going to pull up the spreads, Dave, so we can obviously we're going to talk from that angle.
Colts are 7.
Right, so it looks like favorites. Yeah, I'm seeing a 6.5 right now on my scenario here, which, yeah, Bills favored by 6.5 or 7. I mean, that half is huge. Honestly, this is a tricky game. Like, I don't think either defense is going to be that effective in this game. You know, the Bills really don't run the ball. I mean, if you kind of look at their recent, although they had a huge outburst on Sunday against Miami, I don't know what happened with, you know, that Tua Tagovailoa, that's a whole other situation to talk about the Dolphins. But, you know, the Bills have really been carried by their passing game for the last month, and they've just been destroying teams. Like, you look at their results, like, every win is by 10 points or more. They've just been blowing out teams since that loss in Arizona with the Hail Murray play. So, I don't know. I think this comes down to whether or not the Colts can kind of control the game with their running game, because you know they can run the ball. So, if they can kind of control the clock and keep Allen on the sidelines and out of, you know, keeping from doing those deep explosive plays that they do, I think the Colts have a shot. I do worry about Rivers. You know, I mean, obviously he's a playoff veteran and he's had a lot of experience, but he has the penchant for that huge turnover in a big spot at the end of the game that just will just kill your team. Obviously with Allen, has a playoff start under his belt from last year when they lost to Houston. So I think that will help that the Bills aren't going into this, you know, as a completely new environment for all of them. You know, I do wish that we're there's going to be some fans at this game, right? I think I saw that Cuomo's going to allow some fans. Okay. So there'll be a little bit of an atmosphere, which is good, which will help them. Obviously, if this was a full stadium game, this would just be absolutely insane, the Bills hosting this game. So right now, I would say at that line of 6.5, I would go Bills minus 6.5, and I would say over. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, and this is going to be like 34-27 Bills. That'd be my pick. I guess we could just go back and forth. What would you take for this game?
Well, when it was 7, I was going with the Colts because
I would agree. Anything over 7, I wouldn't take the Bills. But 6.5, or I would lean Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. I like it. As far as the over under, I mean, gun to my head, I take the over. I saw 51. I feel like they can get to 51.
So. Yeah, I think so too. I think over is a good bet for this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to the next game. This is a good one. Rams Seahawks. Now, you were talking about how the difference between Wolford and Goff lately has been negligible, and I agree with you. I think that I hope that they go to Wolford for this game. I would prefer it. And regardless of who the quarterback is, I like the Rams here. I think they can even win outright. So let's get your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, if you look at the history between these two teams, excuse me, it's always a close game. And in recent matchups, I mean, the Rams defensive line has just, you know, ravaged the Seattle offensive line and has just gotten so much pressure on Wilson. You know, look at the game 2 weeks ago when they played. Yeah, Seattle won, but they had like 6 or 7 sacks. They only lost because Goff was just so terrible, and it turns out he was hurt. I mean, you know, obviously he gets a kind of a pass for that game, but just in general, he hasn't had a great season. And you know, McVay is made him into a system quarterback essentially, and Wolford I think can execute the system just as well as Goff did. And I agree. I think 3.5, anything over 3, you're going to get the Rams in that defense. And, you know, I think this will be a close, low-scoring game with the Rams have a great chance to win this one outright. I would sprinkle some on the money line too. Other than that last matchup, the Rams have won like 5 out of 6 games between these two teams. And I think, you know, so I think, you know, you could expect more of the same here. And really, Seattle is kind of like a public team, especially at home. And I think, it's probably baked into the lines, though, the fact that there's going to be no fans there or no home field advantage. That's kind of one of the things that I had to, like, kind of get out of my mind all year. Like, the lines are – it's baked in that there's no home field advantage. Like, when I would see a line, like, oh, -3 at home, that's easy. Well, you have to remember it's essentially almost like a neutral field for some of these games as opposed to, you know, your usual 2 to 2.5 points of a home field advantage. But I'm in agreement. I'll take the Rams here. And I, you know, like I said, maybe sprinkle a little bit on the money line and definitely under the way these two teams have been playing lately. I mean, it's crazy how Seattle went from a full over team and then halfway through the year, they completely switched their style of play back to what they had been doing in recent years, which was just, you know, running the ball and They wouldn't let Russ cook until the end of the game when they needed to, and that's kind of what they've gone back to. So I think this is going to be low scoring. I think like 20-17 is going to win this game. And you know, I'll say the Rams will get the upset just to be trendy here.
You're thinking in terms of like what the Seahawks have done in like past wild cards, because I remember there was a game against Minnesota that was like 13-9 or something really low. That could happen. You're right. I was thinking that 42 was too low of a total, but it's very plausible, especially if they go to Wolford. Like it could be very, very plausible. It'd be a really tight one. So you have the under. I am undecided. I mean, I think I would just take the over just because it's just so low. But honestly, I do that with no confidence. But
yeah, that's the one thing, though. Like, right. Well, I saw this happen a number of times on some stupid college games this year where both offenses are just complete trash. Like, you know, both offenses aren't going to move the ball. So, all right, you take an under like 43 or 42 or whatever. And then the game just explodes over because there's like four defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns, guys are fumbling the ball and they're getting field position on like 10-yard line. So like, you know, you can handicap the game and say, all right, these two offenses aren't doing anything, but because that actually might kind of help the over, because if there's a lot of turnovers and whatnot, I think I remember it was a Western Kentucky, Florida International or Southern Miss Florida International. It was some stupid Conference USA game that went over because of that. And it made me so mad because those two teams couldn't do anything. But
was it FAU? Because there was an FAU-FIU game.
There was an FAU game. Yeah. All those teams just had horrible offenses here. FAU, FIU, Southern Miss, Western Kentucky. It was just all complete trash, those offenses. Marshall, too. They went in the tank. So, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, so let's move on to the night game. And I still haven't figured out which team NBC is going to send to which game. They have two games, which seems like very generous that NBC gets two games. But fair enough. So they got the Bucks against Washington in prime time. It could be a sneaky game. I think you're kind of suggesting the same thing. I really think that the Washington defense is great. I mean, Chase Young wanted Tom Brady. He said so after the game against Philadelphia. He's going to get his wish. And to be honest, I mean, here's the thing, John. People really aren't talking about this, but the Bucs stink at running the ball. They can't run the ball. So there's no threat for them to run, and there's definitely no threat for Tom Brady to run the ball. So I think that Washington defensive line is going to be really tough on the Bucs. So let's get your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, I think you know, you have a couple angles here working in Washington's favor. Like I mentioned before, their defensive line is just fantastic, and they, you know, they get pressure. And we've seen over the years the way to kind of rattle Brady and get him off his spot is pressure, and they certainly can do that. You know, I don't know if you buy into the narrative of Brady being an old man, so he should be in bed instead of playing football on national TV in primetime. Like the Bucs have laid an egg in every primetime game they had this year, like night game. So I don't know if you read into that angle, but that's definitely something to think about. I don't know if I'm going to go too much into that. I mean, it's a small variance or a small sample size, but you know, you're right. The Bucs really can't run the ball. So it's really going to come down to Brady. And if the, you know, their offensive line can hold up and he can find their receivers down the field. And you know, I think it's going to be close. I'm not going to say Washington's going to win in an upset, but you know, their kind of style of play is to keep it close and low scoring and just kind of muck up the game. I mean, you saw this against the Seahawks just a couple weeks ago. What was that, like 20-15? And that was with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback, and he's terrible. You know, they were right to release him. Not only was he, you know, causing problems off the field, he wasn't very good, and that combination doesn't get you very far in the NFL. You know, the Washington offense isn't very good. I mean, we know that. I mean, they have a couple dynamic playmakers, but they're not at 100%. McLaurin, Gibson, McKissick. I mean, Alex Smith just kind of checks it down all game. I mean, he's clearly not 100% either. He could not move at all on Sunday night. I read that they might kind of sub in Heinicke for maybe just for the threat of having a running quarterback. I mean, I don't know if I agree with playing two quarterbacks in the playoffs. Maybe if they kind of have like a read option kind of play for him, but I do think the Washington can keep this close. So that would be my pick over anything over seven. And right now it's plus eight. So I think they'll keep this one close. I think even it could be a situation where, like against the Seattle game a couple of weeks ago, they were down like what 10 or 12 points and they just kind of got a backdoor cover.
Yes, that's right.
Kind of worked that out as well. I think you benefited from that.
I wasn't on that one. Yeah. That's right.
Recall. Yeah. Yeah. So I like Washington. And then if I like Washington, then I have to like the under too. Mm-hmm. That just kind of correlates with one another. So I can see this being like 24-17 Tampa, which you'll get both of those tickets. So that would be my plays for this one, would be Washington and then the under.
I'm with in complete alignment with you on that. I definitely like the under up to, or down to, let's say down to 44.5. But if it's above that number, the under I feel like is a good one. This is a good call. So that does it for Saturday. Let's move on to Sunday. And here are the games on Sunday. If you're watching on YouTube, you see it here on the screen. I feel like the most exciting potential game of the schedule is to lead off, and that's just a commentary on where they are, where the markets are, and they always base these things based on like what the TV ratings are. That's why the Bills got the first slip game, because their TV market is so small. But and further, that their national relevance isn't as great as other teams in the NFL. But be that as it may, ABC and ESPN will split the coverage, simulcasting this game at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. Ravens and Titans going to be a really fun one. And with that, there will be a special NFL wildcard megacast on the ESPN family of networks. You guys are familiar with that with college football playoff games. Well, you have it here for this NFL game. Second game on the schedule, pretty forgettable. Number 7 Bears and number 2 Saints. I have comments on it. It might not be as rough as you think, though. I'll get into that. And the third game, my Steelers hosting the number 6 Browns in a rematch from a week ago, 8:15 on NBC in the regular Sunday Night Football slot. So this is the first year we've had a Sunday Night Football wild card game. Pretty interesting scenario, but we'll start one by one. We'll start with that first game. John, let's get your thoughts on the Ravens-Titans.
Yeah, again, I love the schedule. I think, you know, it definitely – it sucks for the number 2 seed, but for fans of football, I mean, you can't go wrong with triple headers each day on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, what just great stuff. But yeah, this is by far, in my opinion, the best game of the weekend. I think the key to this game is going to be whatever team gets out ahead is going to win this game, because neither team is built to really come from behind. And you've seen this before with both recent Ravens and Titans games. I mean, the Titans got out to a lead in the playoff game last year. And then again, when they played earlier this season, the Titans won. And in both games, they got ahead. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, Lamar Jackson is great. He's a great athlete, but he's not the kind of guy that you're not going to want him coming from behind, throwing a lot of passes for your offense to make a comeback. They're more effective when they're, again, just like Tennessee, they're ahead and they're using their running game and keeping the defense off balance and using their defense. So I think the key again here is whoever gets ahead whoever gets ahead like 10 points, if that happens, is going to win this game. You saw this with Tennessee when they played the Packers, when they got behind early and Tannehill had to really throw the entire game to get them back in it. And it was just a struggle. So, again, I think, the Titans defense we've seen is just not very good. So the Ravens definitely should be able to have some success. But the Titans offense at the same time is very explosive, and I don't think they'll have any problems, moving the ball and scoring in this game. So if I had, obviously I'm going to pick this game. I think the Titans as a home dog has a lot of value, in my opinion. Right now it's 3. I would probably stick with that. Love to get 3.5 because this could be a field goal game. But I think the Titans have the value in this number. I think, the Ravens, if you look at their last month, like, yeah, they've been playing great, but look who they played. Right. They played the Cowboys. They played the Jags. They played the Giants. they played the Bengals. Like, okay, they did what they had to do, and they won those games, and they got in the playoffs. But this is the first really good team that they played since they had that huge COVID outbreak. So I definitely think the Titans are the value here. And, yeah, while I'm saying the Titans' defense is horrible, I think this is too many points for the over-under. It, just because what I said before, both of these teams like to control the game with their running games, and which means, you know, more clock running. So I'm going to say Titans plus 3, and I'm going to say under 54.5. I think this is going to be like a 27-24 game, and that'll just go under. And then, you know, I think that the Titans either win or they lose by 3.
It's such a fascinating call to make when the line is only 3 points. But before we get into that part, I completely agree on the under. It is such a big number. Like, if you look at the past few NFL playoff seasons, you really don't get that many 50-plus point games. I mean, we talked about the Bills game. We said we agreed on that one. But I think the Bills are just all-world with their offense, and they can score quickly. These two teams don't do that. They're really based on running the ball. And, you know, Henry does, and Lamar Jackson does, and J.K. Dobbins does for the Ravens. And I agree. I just don't think these styles really befit a 55-point spread. I mean, when you talk about playing the Texans, sure. But these two teams, I'm not sure if they're quite going to get there. I mean, it'll be close, but I don't think they'll get there. So I agree. But I will defer on the spread. And here's an interesting thought. The Ravens have never won a playoff game with Lamar Jackson. I didn't realize that. They've only played two, but he lost both of them. And I think one was to... I think one was the Chargers. Am I right?
Yes. Yep. He started that game. Yeah, I remember that because they were calling for Flacco. All the, you know, the Monday morning quarterbacks were calling for Flacco at halftime. He was not doing very well at all. So yeah, he lost that one to the Chargers, and then obviously last year they lost to Tennessee.
Yep. So it's a rematch of that too. It's a rematch of the playoff meeting from a year ago. But I feel like it's almost, you know, just like you said earlier, neither team is very good as a comeback team. They can't come from behind, because when you depend on both guys to throw the ball, it's not the best. I mean, I remember earlier in the year when the Steelers had an early deficit against the Ravens and they came back on them. But once they were dealt that shot to the mouth and this is the second game, I think it was, they could not recover from that. It was very different. I'm trying to remember if that was the first game or the second game. But the Steelers won both times, for what it's worth. They beat the Ravens twice that year. So despite all that, I still think, for whatever reason, I think the Ravens will win. I just think the number is too low. And it's, at some point, Lamar is just too good to not win a playoff game at some point. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised either way. I could totally see Titans winning that game. I mean, Henry is all world. Like, he had a 2,000-yard season. He's an amazing player. So if he has a good game, and I don't honestly think, I mean, what do you think, John? Do you think the Ravens' defense is necessarily as good as you would perceive them to be?
Well, again, it's all a recency bias thing. They beat up on the Bengals, Cowboys, Giants, and Jags over the last month. I mean, let's look at I'd have to dig deeper into their stats before then. I mean, I know they're solid, but I'm not going to say that they're the best in the NFL. So I definitely think C can do some things in this game. But I agree with you. The total is just way too high for this.
Yep. So honestly, I feel like it's go either way. We're on either side of the spread, but we both are feeling like there'll be a little bit lower of a score than expected. So let's get to the next game. And let's not spend too much time on the Bears game, but I do think, well, look, here's the thing. I think the Bears might be eligible for a backdoor. It's just tough to visualize them winning outright with Mitch Trubisky, who's just good for an interception every so often. So, John, let's get your thoughts on that game.
Well, the first thing before we go into dive into the game, like, why is CBS getting this game?
That's a good question. Yeah,
I don't understand why. Like, what, you know, does Fox have other programming they have on Sunday afternoon? Like, is there a car race or something? Like, I don't know. Like, and the other funny thing is Nickelodeon is showing this game.
Yes, they're simulcasting it for the kids.
Do you remember? I don't know if you are aware of this. My old UConn coach Bob Diaco, He actually, like, he sounded batshit crazy at the time, but he threw out the idea one time at a press conference of showing games on Nickelodeon to get kids interested in football. I shit you not. You can look it up on YouTube. Like, he said this amongst all other sorts of crazy things that never made any sense. But he did call for games on Nickelodeon, and here we are, 2021 playoff game on Nickelodeon. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, the Bears have a good defense, so I will give them that. Like, I think they could definitely give the Saints offensive line some trouble and get some pressure after Breeze and possibly keep them in the game a little bit. So I'm not going to say this is going to be a huge blowout. I mean, 10 points is a lot of points, especially in an NFL playoff game. Now, I don't know if I want to lay 10 points with the Saints, to be honest with you. But I don't know if I want to bet the Bears either, because it's Trubisky and, you know, it's Nagy. So this is one's tough. I honestly, I would hate to say I'm going to stay away from an NFL playoff game, but I don't know if I want to bet this. I kind of like the under again in this, because the Saints defense is really good too. And I think the Bears will get enough stops where this total will stay under. I know the Saints offense, they had that amazing game against Minnesota, but Minnesota's completely decimated by the end of the season with injuries and just, ineffectiveness. So, again, I don't know. If I had to pick a side here, if there's a gun to my head, pick a side, I'd probably say 10, just because 10 points is a lot in the NFL, and especially in a playoff game. But I'm probably not going to bet it. I like the under more. I think this is, we'll say like 27 to 17 is kind of what you're looking at here. But by far the least entertaining or sexy matchup of the weekend. But honestly, though, like, if the Bears win this game, like, I will not complain. Let's send Mitch back up to Lambeau, baby. Let's get him in there. Because they would be the seventh seed, and they would go automatically to play the Packers. So I'll be a Bears fan if I don't have a wager on this.
Oh, man. You know, more and more I noticed that the Packers just own Chicago. Like, they have just owned them for the last 5 years. And it was very interesting to see that. It was close, that game that you guys played a few days ago. But
yeah, no, they had a good game plan. I mean, they kind of – it wasn't, like, anything exotic, but they were just very efficient with the ball, especially in the third quarter. And really what changed the momentum of the game, it was 21-13. And, Rodgers throws a – it's a deep ball, and – Marquez Valdes-Scantling is wide open, and like, he's going to catch it and walk into the end zone for a touchdown, and he drops it. And the Bears just had a rally from that point on, and it was kind of tight there for a little bit, and then the Packers got a fourth down stop on a play in their own in their territory, and then they just kind of finished it out from there. It was really just like 21-16 for most of the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So again, the Bears and Saints played an overtime game earlier this year, if you remember. I believe it was back in, I'm going to say October, middle of October, end of October. Mm-hmm. And that was a pretty close game. So, again, I don't love Trubisky on the road and all that, but if I had to play a side, I'd probably go with them with the points.
Kamara's not playing either, which I think worries me if I'm a Saint fan. As far as I know, I think he's not playing, right?
I haven't seen if he's out of the COVID protocol or anything yet. I know it's different for someone that tests positive versus like the close contact kind of thing. And I know he tested positive, so I don't know what the scenario is for him to get back on the field.
You're right. I see this, that he's hopeful he can get back. As you mentioned, it's really more of a matter of contact tracing. So he might play. Okay. So I actually hope he plays. I don't want to see a playoffs without him in there. He's been great.
Yeah.
Good spot. You were in our FanDuel, of course, right? So,
My God, yeah, I was off to a good start, and I think I've lost 9 weeks in a row. Rough. I had a couple like fourth or fifth place finishes, but I feel that I didn't do a lot of my homework this year on the fantasy because I wasn't in a league, and it's tough because like I'm more focused on betting and my pool and everything else, and then I kind of like, all right, so it's 11:30, time to put together the FanDuel lineup, and it's just kind of scrambling to put something together. Mm-hmm. Thank God I had a great season for golf, so I could withstand those losses. But you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll do well here in the playoffs when I don't have to think about as many of the other situations that are going on. But Dave, I saw you won on week 17 with FanDuel. were on like the streak of all streaks here. Like, you need to go buy some lottery tickets or like go to the, I know, it's stupid. We can't go to Vegas right now, but like Vegas, you would be like, you'd be hot in Las Vegas right now.
I think the word I would use is blessed. I mean, that was luck. You know, when Jerry Jeudy had that touchdown in the Raider game, that contributed to the score. I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah, that was crazy. 90 something yards right over the middle. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I was just blown away. I'm like, not this week. And what's just hilarious is that Leo texted me like an hour before the kickoffs and I put out the players. That is unbelievable. Here's what happened, John. It's as simple as this. I just put a lot of the players from my actual fantasy team, which was just blowing everybody up this year. It had like Mahomes and it had Kamara and it had Stephon Diggs. And so I'm like, okay, let's just use these guys when I can. And then just I filled in the blanks the rest of the way. That's pretty much it. So I was kind of, and it's funny, I didn't really make that adjustment until about week 9. And then things started to turn. But it was a lot of luck, seriously. Who would have expected Jerry Jeudy, who's like a $5,800 player, to have a 98-yard touchdown in the game?
Well, that's what you got to hit, though, to win those things. You gotta, like, everyone's going to be on like some of those top players. You got to find the right like low to medium price player to plug in that no one really has to gain an edge over everybody. And I was, again, my my disaster day of going with the Jets, I saw some people touting their running back, Ty Johnson, and he was a low price, so I threw him in there and Nicky got me 8 points. Like, you can't win with 8 points from your running back. Like, maybe your flex, you could win with 8 points, but not your running back. And I had some other decent, like, I had Brady, I had Brandon Cooks. Like, I had some good players that went off, but you have that one dud in your lineup that gives you 5 to 8 points, and you just can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know? You can't go up the standings, unfortunately. But there's definitely skill to it, involved to it, but obviously it's a lot of luck, too. You just need the right combination, and then you need the right game script, and then you just need to hope there's no injuries. So that's what makes it fun, though.
Oh yeah, I look forward to when we have Ron back, because he can tell us all about his FanDuel scenario. It's fun to talk FanDuel with him.
No, so we'll see how we can do this weekend with the 6-game slate. See if anyone we'll see what players pop up this weekend.
Oh yeah, yeah, that should be fun. So I'm looking forward to how we all do in there. I wouldn't mind if someone else won, though. I mean, I don't want to hog up.
Oh no, Dave! Don't be greedy. Come on. I mean, Sam, don't feel bad being greedy. I mean, for something like this, you want to win all chances you can get. Just ride that streak until you can't anymore.
Fair point. Because
it'll
come.
You know, it's going to turn the other way, like it always does for a lot of us all of us. Like, you get on that bad streak, and you know you want it to be good again. So keep riding the wave.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right, times two. So let's get to our final game, and it is the Browns versus the Steelers. Certainly a familiar matchup. It's a rematch of the two teams from 2002 season, when the two teams had Derek Anderson and Tommy Maddox. Obviously, a much different quarterback matchup this time, with Baker Mayfield against Ben Roethlisberger. I don't have a read on this game at all. I think the Steelers are going to win, but the Browns have been shut down multiple times at their facility because of the COVID issues. So, I mean, everybody's thinking that the Steelers are going to win. The question is, are they going to cover? And with a point spread of around 6 or 7, depending on where you look, I don't have that kind of confidence in the Steelers to cover the spread. Although they really should, seriously. Like, this is a clearly superior team. The Browns, as our friend Robert in Virginia pointed out, have a terrible defense. Their defense stinks. So, I mean, it really should be a Steeler win on paper, but as you know, with the rivalry games, you just never know. So, John, let's get your thoughts on the AFC North battle.
Yeah, this should, you know, it's a division rivalry. Even you saw it last week with the Steelers not playing Ben and some of the other guys. They wanted to win that game and spoil the Browns' season. I mean, the Steelers played most of their guys, though, especially on defense, right? Like, they weren't completely tanking that game. They were just giving Ben some rest for the most part, right? Like, the Steelers they didn't have like backups in the whole time.
I don't think so. I mean, two defensive players were out, but that's it. I mean, I still saw Fitzpatrick and some other defenders. So I think Really, it was only like a couple of guys on the offense that were really
gotcha. Notable. Yeah, no, I mean, and Ben deserved a rest anyway. He was just kind of struggling towards the end of the year there, especially like the Cincinnati game. That was just dreadful the way they lost that one. But yeah, the one theme we've kind of seen this year with COVID is that when you have play callers missing the game, that's just a huge impact on the game. You saw that with the Lions game. I mean, I know the Lions were kind of tanking anyway, but, you know, it was – what was that? The Bucs could have won that game 100-0 if they wanted to. That Bucs-Lions game, yeah. It was that Saturday game when the Lions were missing basically their whole coaching staff.
Oh, and that was rough. Yeah.
Bevel, huge calls the plays, and he was out. And that was just brutal in every way, shape, and form. You just saw it recently in the college football semifinal.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah, the Clemson State offensive coordinator, Tony Elliott, was not there for COVID. And, you know, the Clemson looked great on their first drive. It was their scripted plays. And then after that, they couldn't really do anything or much of anything the rest of the game. So I think not having Stefanski there is huge. I think you cannot overstate how big of a loss that is. The guy who's been calling plays literally all season long, and he's not going to be there for the playoffs. I mean, just for that reason alone, I like the Steelers. I mean, you know, let's talk about even matchups. I mean, the Steelers should be able to do well on offense as well. I mean, you mentioned the Browns' defense is just not very good. And, you know, Ben with another week of rest and, you know, their receivers should be able to do well. I mean, we know the Steelers can't run the ball, but they should be able to throw it pretty effectively on the Browns' defense. And I think, you know, I see the line is 6 now. I definitely like the Steelers at that number. You know, and that's, again, it's just a combination of things. So let me see what that over-under is. It's probably like 40-something, right?
47.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, 47. That's close. Yeah, that's tough. I think that it's like right – that's like right on the nose what that would be, with that over-under. Like it's just one play or another is gonna turn that. Either it could be like 28-21 or it could be, you know, 24-20. Like it's there's really not much of a difference. Like one scoring drive is going to decide that or not. But I would say I definitely like the Steelers more than I like the total. I just think Stefanski not being there is just, how can you go into a playoff game without your head coach and play caller and expect to be as efficient and effective as you've been all year?
Yeah.
Like I just don't know how they're going to recover. Maybe they'll make me look completely stupid, and the Browns offensive coordinator, whoever that is, I don't even know who's calling the plays, will, you know, have a great game plan and they'll rally and, you know, who's been involved in the game plans all year. But I just, for that reason alone, you know, unfortunate for the Browns, but, you know, I'm gonna go with the Steelers. And not to mention there's a bunch of other players too that are going to be possibly out for COVID. So I just think it lines up well for Pittsburgh to win this game by a touchdown.
Yep. I think they're going to do it. I'm not guaranteeing anything, because I feel like, just like you said, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns came back and won outright even. I'm not even joking, because the Steelers offense can be really, really miserable sometimes. But I think if you had to make a call on it, you have to take the Steelers. I mean, that's a lot of issues for the Browns. I mean, they had their practice facility shut down numerous times within the week, and they're not going to have Stefanski in the mix. I mean, that stuff will... The margins are always smaller in the NFL. So things like losing a coach are very significant. And so just on that basis alone, I just can't consciously take the Browns in that scenario. It might be 6. A good thing it's 6, because if it was like 8, I'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah. It was like 8 or 8.5. I'm not in on that. But 6, like I feel confident they can win by a touchdown.
Yep. So good spot there. Let me figure it out finally who's good in that game, because I got to figure out where Al and Chris
are. I want to say it's Al and Chris are doing Sunday night. I mean, that would make sense to me, but I mean, they could have switched it. I mean, I don't know.
You are correct. I see it here on 506sports.com. They will be on the Pittsburgh game. Okay, very good. So,
who's doing the CBS games? Obviously, it's Nance and Romo. Are they doing the Chicago game?
Yeah, unbelievably.
And oh, my God.
I know. Like, why? But the really? Reason... but it all goes down to time slots, in my opinion. I was just writing this big email to Coach and Rosales today about how they select the assignments, and it's based on who the bigger TV markets are for these games, not really about who the better team is. And I'm sure you know that too, John. I mean, the Titans always get the short end of the stick in that scenario. And so Buffalo gets the worst one. That makes sense. So they're on CBS, so that means they're going to get their second team, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis. I miss the beard so much. Dan Fouts is great. He was so good. Davis is just annoying. So too bad.
Now, next week, where would you say, like, you got to figure the Chiefs or Packers are getting the Sunday 4 o'clock time slot, because that's like the prime time slot for next week. So one of those two is getting that one. And then the other one is probably getting the prime time game, Saturday at 8, I would guess. They're doing that schedule next week, right? 4, 8, 1, and 4. I'm talking Eastern time.
Let me look and just double check that.
I haven't seen anything with the schedules. I'm assuming that's what it's going
to
be. But
it is. Well, they don't have one anymore. They switched the 1 to 3 o'clock Eastern. So it's like
so on Sunday it's 4, 8, and then 3 and 6, right?
Yeah, 3 and 6:30. So they switched that up.
Okay, so
I missed 1 o'clock, but that's not important. But you're right.
Yeah, we get 1 o'clock this weekend at least. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, for sure. So I think it's going to be a similar scenario. I think would you say 6:30 is going to be the prime slot next week?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely either going to be the Packers or the Chiefs, the 6:30 game.
Yeah,
I would be surprised. Okay. Let's just say all the favorites win as they're expected. So your matchups would be, I mean, if we're going by seeds or if we're going by, like, you know, point spreads, like, I don't know. We'll just go by the point spread. So you would have Baltimore at Kansas City, and then you would have Buffalo at Pittsburgh would be your AFC games. And then your NFC games would be Seattle at New Orleans and Tampa Bay at Green Bay. Well, right there, Rodgers at Brady. I mean, they're slapping that in the Sunday 6:30 spot, like, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no doubt in my mind.
I
would say in that scenario, again, probably Buffalo Pittsburgh probably gets the first game, and then they might go New Orleans on Saturday night, and then the Chiefs on Sunday, although I don't know if they want to put the Chiefs and Packers on the same day, but that kind of works out though. I would think.
I think so too. I love your call with the Bills getting that 4:30 slot on Saturday. They're just not a big enough brand nationally, as good as they are. And I remember them in the '90s. I remember them very well, but for whatever reason, I don't think they've really reached that echelon with the Packers. I mean, so I would also agree. They probably get Saturday 4:30. And then I can't disagree with anything else either. That's pretty good. I mean, you know, the Packers are getting 6:30 on Sunday. I mean, that's just a lock.
I think they are too, especially if it's Brady and Rodgers. I mean, my God, that might be the highest rated game of the year, other than so far anyway. I'm just in the Super Bowl, the championship would outright that. But, I mean, the hot takes will be flying next week if that's the matchup, that's for sure.
There's so many people who kept saying that Brady is still the GOAT, and I'm sure he is, but I'm just like, this year he's not.
He's had a good season. Like, I'll give him credit. Like, I'm not going to say he's played bad, but he was surrounded by good offensive talent this year.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't perfect, but you know, he's had a good season. I'm not going to say he's not, but he's not the MVP and he's not the best quarterback in the league right now. I mean, obviously his career is unbelievable, but you know, I don't think anyone would agree that he's the best quarterback in football right now. And that he's, you know, the Bucks are to be feared and they're going to the Super Bowl. Like, let's, you know, calm down a little bit. You know, I think if it is Bucks and Packers, the Packers have a little revenge on their mind from that first game. It was just awful. It was their worst game of the year by far. So I think they'd be pretty motivated to win that one.
I would say that if it really did come to that, I would take the Packers in the rematch, and Vegas would be very worried. I got a report that Vegas casinos have deemed the Bucks winning the Super Bowl as the worst case scenario for them.
Wow. Interesting.
That is.
I see a lot of people at the beginning of the year just slapping down futures on Brady. That's what I can imagine.
Yeah, I think.
I wonder what the spread would be. I would say it'd be probably like Packers minus 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because you know there's going to be a lot of Brady support from the general public who barely watched any football the whole year. Just parachuted into the Super Bowl. You know what's happening. It happens in college too, like all the time. You see it.
Oh yeah, you pay a tax on those big teams. Absolutely, the line is always like 3 to 4 points above what it really should be.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
I have a principle that that's been bubbling. I didn't make this public yet, but bet any Big Ten underdog, like, or underdog in a Big Ten game, because I feel like, just like you said, like the Big Ten is the biggest conference in terms of fan popularity in college, anything, basketball or football. So I always feel like the underdogs in those games are going to get more value.
Yeah, no, that's, and especially if you're talking basketball, those teams are so close this year, and the Big Ten is going to get a bunch of teams in the tournament. So yeah. Now that definitely makes sense to kind of go with that theory.
Good scenario right now, if you've got the Indiana and Wisconsin game on. Indiana is really, really close. It is a one point game in that game.
I think the spread on that was like 8 or something. So yeah. If you took Indiana.
Good scenario. Not going so well for Maryland against Iowa, though. But that's, Iowa's just really good, so I won't worry.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. No shame in that. But, yeah, so very good stuff all around. I mean, this is going to be a fun wild card round. Last question, which tangential question, is what will you be having for lunch or dinner during these wild card games? Any particular eats you like?
Oh, no, I'm not going all out for these games. It'll just be my normal routine for this. It'd be nothing special until, you know, knock on wood, if the Packers are in the Super Bowl, or, you know, then we'll be going ham for that one. But, you know, this weekend, it'll just be the regular, just, you know, just some snacks or beer or whatever. But nothing, you know, we're not cooking anything special for wild card weekend.
Okay, very well. So that'll wrap up a bow on the wild card round. It'll be a fun time. That's a lot of games. I enjoy the triple header as well. So let's go look at the college scene now. And we'll spend less time on this because some of these bowls were crap and some of these, but there were some really wild outcomes in the bowl season. And you mentioned a really big one where Ohio State shocked, and I mean shocked, Clemson, winning by many, many points. I don't remember the score, but it was a lot of points, and it was a disaster. And I wish I had seen that news. I didn't see it because I was busy with everything else. About the Clemson offensive coordinator not being in the mix. I'm like, if I knew that, I would not have put so many points in our bull pick'em scenario on Clemson. That's a big difference. So anyway, let's look at what happened in college football. First of all, Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith was just an upset in itself, wins the Heisman Trophy. We thought for sure it would be a quarterback, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Mac Jones or Kyle Trask, but it's the wide receiver Devontae Smith winning the prize. I'm really happy about that because I'm getting tired of the Heisman just being a quarterback award. And that's just, I think it's nice to have a little change of pace. And Smith played great. You know, Jalen Waddle got hurt. I think it was in a game against, I forgot who, it was a while ago, it was a few weeks ago. It was like an opening kickoff. Jalen Waddle was got hurt on the opening kickoff, and he's out for the season. But Devontae Smith picked up the pace. It was really great. Anyway, carrying on, Gus Malzahn was fired from Auburn. Honestly, not that big a surprise. But Brian Harsin is the new coach, which I'm like not that impressed by. Tom Herman was fired from Texas. I think people wanted that for some time. Steve Sarkisian, yeah, the guy from USC in Atlanta. New coach. go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, he seems to have been rehabilitated at Alabama, and you can't deny what he's done with their offense. But again, like, he's essentially has an NFL roster, you know? Like, I think a lot of guys could have done well with those players at Alabama. I mean, granted, he's made them more – remember, like, you know, not even like 5 years ago, Alabama was like a ground-and-pound offense, and they, you know, they were winning games in the SEC 16-3.
Right.
And now they're winning them 55-50. It's just crazy how their offense has evolved. And, you know, Sark has been a huge part of that. So, yeah, give him credit, and, you know, he's done well. But let's just – I feel like it's a lateral, like if you're going from Herman to Sarkisian, like what's the difference?
Exactly. You know?
I don't see, you know, and obviously it's not my money, but like they're, it's a huge buyout, and you know, all these colleges are under immense financial stress and strain because of COVID, and they're eliminating teams and everything else. And here you are, you're paying a guy $30 million not to coach. I don't know. It's just kind of a bad look, in my opinion. It's like the kind of, and maybe it's coming from the booster money. And if so, like, I mean, all right, that's their money. You know, they want to get rid of Herman for a new coach. Sure. You know, go for it. But I just think it's a lateral kind of move. And clearly, like, there's some big power play behind the scenes, because their athletic director had announced just a month ago that Herman was coming back. So that was a huge surprise to see. And, you know, we'll see if it works out, but they got to give him more than 3 or 4 years. I mean, I think Herman got 3 years, and that's just in the NFL. Like, yeah, you know, someone's a clown. Like, we know Adam Gase sucks. Like, he doesn't deserve more than 2 years, but like in college football, like, you need time to get your recruits and your system into place. Like, I just don't, they need to give him at least a full recruiting class, excuse me, to evaluate him. So
absolutely.
Yeah. It was surprising. I mean, as far as the other one, I mean, you're firing Gus Malzahn for Brian Harsin. Like, that made no sense to me. I'm sorry. Like, I was never a fan of Harsin at Boise. I felt like they were just more so of a bully kind of team of, you know, bullying the lower schools in the conference. And they just always had like a one or two like WTF games a year that just didn't make any sense. And I don't know. I'm just not a fan of that. I think, you know, Malzahn, for all of his faults, like, he still was in a national championship game. He still has beaten Alabama 2 or 3 times. Mm-hmm. Not many other teams in the SEC can say that they've beaten Alabama recently. Right. And he can. So I don't know. I didn't like that hire, in my opinion. But we'll see. Maybe he'll work out in the SEC. You know, I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm underwhelmed by both of these. I know Sark very well. He coached at USC for a number of years, and people are saying, oh, personal reasons. No, he sucked too. Like, it wasn't just the personal reasons and alcohol. He wasn't that good a coach. Like, he was too much of a delicate genius. And John, you saw the same thing in Atlanta. When he was in Atlanta as an offensive coordinator, he was terrible.
Yep.
Oh, have fun with that.
I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, we'll see. Like, I don't know. Like, look, if you saw the Texas bowl game, like, they got some exciting young players. Like, their freshman that came in for Ellinger, he looked great, their quarterback. And then their running back, oh my God, he was dragging guys like 10 yards down the field. Like, they got some players. So we'll see if he can do something with them, with Herman's players. Like, Casey Thompson, I think, was the quarterback's name. And I forget the running back, but they were very impressive. I mean, albeit Colorado sucks. The Pac-12 sucks. You know, we'll get to the bowls.
Oh, did they ever suck? Oh my God. Oh, both of us got burned by Oregon. Oh.
Yeah. Oh my God. Don't even get started. You know, we can get into the bowls, but how about another coaching scenario? Arizona gets Jed Fish. Like, what the hell is this? Like, they just relegated themselves to be the doormat again in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Like, and they hired Don Brown, the old Michigan defensive coordinator. That's just doomed to fail. I guess the Arizona president is friends with this guy. Apparently, that's, you know, that's the only reason he got the job.
Well, like, I worked for Arizona State, right? But
yeah, right. Yeah, but at least Herm Edwards had NFL coaching experience. Like, right. You can laugh at it. At least he had that. He brought on a good staff. Like, that just does not make any sense. Yeah. Hiring. There was another one that I saw that was higher that was interesting. Brett Bielema was back in the game. He's at Illinois, so that should be fun.
It's not too bad. I mean, it is.
Yeah, no, I think they could. Yeah, that one's not terrible. I will say that. But you know, back to Arizona just popped in my head. I know San Jose State had a terrible bowl game, but they had the perfect candidate, like, right there, like the dude from San Jose State, like, they legit had not had an undefeated or that kind of season in like 70 years, and. You know, you hire the offensive analyst that's been with like 10 different teams over the last how many years? Like, that was just so bizarre.
Yeah.
But in any event.
On San Jose State, how disappointed were you in their lack of performance against Ball State in the bowl?
Oh, yeah, that was very disappointing. I had them high in my bowl mania. But again, that's 2020 for you. Like literally 10 minutes before the game, I saw they had a ton of players out for COVID injuries. And that killed them. It was two offensive linemen, two of their starting receivers. So, and no one knew about it. So if I had known that, I mean, I might not have gone. I thought they were full strength. I thought they were easily going to win, and they looked awful right from the start. So, just chalk it up to a bad game, but they get to keep their coach heading into next year. So surprisingly, no one plucked them away. So, for the Bowl Mania, I actually still have a chance to win if I go against the grain and take Ohio State. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Although it's not looking great, they have their own COVID situation, but I mean, I don't think I have a choice at this point.
I think that's the way. I mean, you really don't, because everybody.
Yeah,
else
no, I don't. If I want to win money, like I just have to take a chance at it. Well, whatever.
I'll be rooting for them. I mean, I like that Ohio State's in the game. I'm done with Clemson. Yeah. I've had enough of Clemson.
Yeah, Dabo Swinney is just becoming insufferable. Like, you know, he just. I think Andy was onto this before basically everyone. Just how much of a kind of insufferable. Tricky is, sorry for the language, but he's all like high and mighty and like, I'll never coach again if these, you know, these players are paid a dime. Like, dude, you make like $15 million. Like, chill out.
Exactly.
You know, it's a little tough to take, but yeah. I mean, do you want me to talk about some of these bowl games that?
Well,
I mean,
we can, but we're kind of running short on time. I mean,
yeah,
just
no,
me
I just
highlights.
I'll just mention a few things. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Iowa State and Oregon. Like, Oregon legit could have been in that game, but they had, what, four fumbles on special teams. It just – I still don't buy the Iowa State hype, and they're going to get more hype going into next year. Like, Oregon legit had a chance in that game if they hadn't fumbled the ball. And that's what cost me. And if I had switched my pick to Iowa State, when I could have, but, I stuck with Oregon, I would have been in position to just take Alabama and win the whole thing. But, you know, obviously – we'll stick with the consequences of going with Oregon, because I'd like them, but that was a rough game. Trying to think of any other games that were kind of like a rough beat I was telling you before, it's just, it was different this year because you would usually have like 43 games. Right. And I think we ended up with like 26 because of all the cancellations and whatnot and teams that didn't want to go to a game. And it just wasn't the same kind of bowl season as usual. And I'm glad that we got it, but it just wasn't the same. Let's see here. Yeah, the Georgia-Cincinnati game was really good.
Yeah, that was good. Peach Bowl, right.
That was good game. That was a highlight for sure. I mean, Cincinnati really could have won. I mean, Fickell was a clown at the end of the game. Throwing passes on third down to not make Georgia's burn their timeouts. But, you know, the group of five representative, once again, very well held their own against the SEC. So, you know, they could have won that game. I was disappointed in the Army-West Virginia finish. Army was up, I think, 21-10 in that game. And I thought I was going to be having a winner there. And, an onside kick kind of changed the game. And West Virginia ended up winning. So that was I had that one with Bowl Mania. That was kind of tough. Oklahoma just blew out Florida. I think everyone saw that one coming once you saw the players that were opting out for Florida. And, you know, Dan Mullen is tough to take. Another guy.
We talked about that in an earlier show, remember?
You know, he is really tough to take. Yeah. Well, you know, this game was played 2 weeks ago, or, you know, this wasn't the same team that was out there. Like, he is just really tough to take. And I see him, I was interviewing with NFL jobs. Like, good luck with that, dude. I would love to see the Falcons or the Jets hire him. He would be just – that would just be –
Did you see who the Jets were interviewing with recently? Marvin Lewis.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Ron, I feel bad, man.
I know. That's gonna be, or like Jim Harbaugh, too, I saw is open to NFL jobs.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing how far his stock has fallen in just like a few years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
People don't want him anymore.
No, but how about Urban Meyer is like the favorite to get the Jacksonville job?
Oh,
I would honestly I would laugh so hard if Urban Meyer is the coach of the Jacksonville team. That makes no sense.
He would suck ass.
None. Terrible. Like, you think he's going to, he would be so burned out. He might pull a Bobby Petrino and quit like 12 games in. Because he just couldn't handle it, you know. Honestly, I think that's what might happen.
Because
the team's going to suck next year.
Absolutely.
Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, it doesn't matter who they draft. They're still going to suck next year. And yeah. he would just be burnt out. I would love to see it. Bring it on. Come on, Urban. Come on down to the end.
Poor Trevor Lawrence having to settle for Jacksonville now because the Red Jets were too good.
I think he fits better, though, than with the Jets, to be honest with you.
Think so?
I think he fits better with the Jets.
It might work out for the Jets, to be honest, right?
Yeah, he doesn't seem like a New York kind of guy to me, mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence. I don't know. Maybe I'm just stereotyping. He just doesn't seem like a New York guy.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I think if the Jets wind up with number two, I don't even know because there are so many bad teams in the NFL. But
yeah, they're gonna have two.
I think they'll
sure.
Okay, you think so?
They might go Justin Fields and then just trade Darnold. I don't know. It's just there's a lot. Or they could go with that offensive tackle from Oregon. I mean, you can't go wrong with the left tackle. I mean, he's supposedly just a beast. That I think his name is Sewell, Penei Sewell, something like that. So we'll see if they go in that direction. But they have a big decision to make. But
Fields looked really good in that playoff
game. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, we all know he's playing with, like, broken ribs. I mean, that was incredible, that hit he took and the way he played the rest of the game. I'm very impressive. I mean, his draft stock rose after that, sure.
Yep. So just to put it into short, I'm rooting for –
Dave, I'll mention two more games for you before we move on for the Bowls. First one is that A&M North Carolina game. That was a good game, too. So I won't say all the games have been bad. That was a good game. And, poor Mac Brown, they had to go for that fourth down at the end of the game to try to win. But as soon as they missed it, I was like, God damn it. They're going to give up a touchdown now. And sure enough, they did to blow the plus 10 spread. And that was rough. And it made the over. I think it went over too with that.
Yeah, I had the over. I got very
lucky. Yeah, so you got it after that touchdown. That really changed a lot of fortunes. And then the last thing, the brawl between Mississippi State and Tulsa. The game, whatever, Mississippi State won. Who cares? So the brawl after the game, it come to find out they show Mike Leach in the crowd taking selfies with the fans.
I saw this.
They're taking selfies with the fans where his players are doing karate moves on the sidelines. Like, that is so on brand for Mike Leach. It's not even
giant brawl breaking out of the field.
He's like, oh yeah, hey, what's up? Yeah, he's always doing selfies in the stands. You just cannot make it up.
Pans out and you see people just stomping on each other.
yeah, a massive brawl. And there he is. Just you can't make it up. Like that encapsulates Mike Leach in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
For sure.
He's a great fit for the SEC if you really think about it. It's a Mongo.
Oh, yeah. His character for sure. Like, yeah. Either the SEC or Pac-12, he fits in. He would not be like a Big Ten coach at all.
No. Agree. So let me see. Let's just do – we'll close with our predictions for the championship game, Ohio State versus Alabama. I'll give you a couple quick hitters on it. Number one, we don't know if it's going to get played on Monday. Because there, like you were talking about, there are some questions about Ohio State's ability to play. It's all going to ride on the test on Monday. We don't know. So, but if they play the game on Monday, Alabama is favored by 8 points. The over-under is a record high, 75.5 points. It was, I think, a day ago. I think now it's 75. It's still a lot. So let's get your predictions for that, and then we'll wrap it up tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to say over. To start, I mean, from what I saw from Ohio State, like they're not really going to, Trey Sermon is just unbelievable the last couple games. I mean, Alabama's defense, the one thing they've been kind of, their one weakness kind of has been against passing, a good passing team. And that's exactly what Ohio State's going to do. And then Ohio State, like then they were, their worst game of the season defensively was against Penix and Indiana, what's Mac Jones and Smith and Waddle and all those guys going to do? It's going to be a shootout back and forth. So it's a shit ton of points, but I think you have to stay over. The side, I have to go with Ohio State for my Bowl Mania scenario, but objectively, I don't know. I mean, and I think you kind of almost have to lay it with Alabama. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't like rooting for Alabama, and obviously I'm not going to root for them with my Bowl Mania scenario, but I think their offense is just way too good this year. Even a little bit of a defensive improvement. And you saw that in the Notre Dame game. I mean, their defense was pretty good in that game. But even a little bit of a defensive improvement with that offense, I mean, they should win this game. Especially, and again, you don't know what, if the game is played as scheduled, who's missing for Ohio State too. I mean, that's huge. So, I would say Alabama by 10 is a pretty reasonable prediction at this point, even if I don't want that to happen, and the over as well. So that's where I would lean for this game.
I am with you with Ohio State. I just think it's going to be a fun game. It doesn't seem like the kind of game where either team would really pull away from the other. It reminds me a little bit about Alabama and Florida in the SEC title game. A really similar scenario. However, I think 75.5 feels like a trap. And in principle, I would agree with you because Ohio State has really not shown me much of anything defensively this year. I can't even explain how they shut down Clemson. I really don't know how they did that.
Well, the offensive coordinator being out, I think that was so big.
Yeah.
Him not being there.
Yeah, I agree. Wish I knew when it would have been, I think you're right. It made a huge difference. So I think if you want to have more fun, take the over, and I think you're making the right call on that. I'm just abiding by a general principle of an idea of a championship level game having that many points. Typically, I take the under, so it's really more principle, but I would not be surprised if this had 90 points. I mean, these teams are great.
It's a good live betting thing, too. Like, I don't know if you get involved with that, Dave, but if it goes touchdown, 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 and like the total's like 100 something, like, yeah, slam the under. Cause eventually if it's a close game, like it's going to slow down a little bit and tighten up, and you'll have some good value on that to go under. Just because like even at the normal total of around 75, I mean, they basically need to score at about almost every possession, like one fourth down stop or one missed field goal is going to ruin that. So I think there's great live value for this game, that if it's just a score fest early on, hit that live under would be my thought.
Oh, I love that idea. Because it's not like a UCF game where they're just going to give up a touchdown every single time. So if there is a live under of 100, that's just an unbelievable
number. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. But yeah. I would say if it gets like 90 or 100, like, yeah, I would take a chance on that. Because if it's a close game, it'll, like you said, championship game, it'll tighten up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I was going with that, too. So I think it's going to be a fun game, no matter what happens, whenever it's played, however it goes. It should be a good game. I'd be really disappointed if, like, one team just ran away with it. Though, if Ohio State did, that would be some story. I would be really shocked.
My pocket would be heavier, that's for sure. I'm hoping for it.
Yeah. Good luck, man. I'll be rooting for Ohio State in this game, too. Change is good, on all levels.
Yeah. Even if, like, next year, like, the playoff again, it'll be Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and a random fourth team next year. Like, Notre Dame was the random team this year. Next year, it might be back to Oklahoma next year because everyone loves Oklahoma again.
Yeah, you're right. Do you think Rattler's going to be pretty good? Because I couldn't get a read on him.
I think he's just a freshman, so I mean, he's got a long way to improve. I mean, their last few quarterbacks they had, they were like all like seniors and transfers. I mean, Hurts and Mayfield and Murray. So, I think it'll be pretty good. And Oklahoma really improved their defense, which was the key to kind of their turnaround towards the end of the season. So, I think Rattler will be pretty good, especially, Riley has that system like humming right now. Like they just plug guys in there and they just get better. And, I think he'll work out well there.
Well, I think they've got a great, obviously it's a great system. So, I really think that Riley has done the great job of getting the most out of any quarterback, whoever it is. And so it's a good
now, that's a guy I would say sign me up for him in the NFL. Lincoln Riley, I think he could be an NFL coach just because of his demeanor too. Like, he's not one of these kind of these mongos or like domineering types like Urban Meyer or Nick Saban that they're just not going to get through to professional players. Like, I think Lincoln Riley would be a good NFL coach.
That's a good call. I like it. And I think he will be. He's just too good, you know?
Yeah. So, I think at some point he'll just want a new challenge.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. So we'll give it to you. Fun thoughts, John.
Yeah, no, this was fun, Dave. I definitely wanted to talk about some of the games and, you know, he broke it down and can't wait. Super wild card weekend. So it should be exciting. Like, just plop yourself on the couch on Saturday and don't have to leave until Sunday night if you're going anywhere. So it'll be good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff coming up. It'll be a great weekend. You can't go anywhere anyway, so this is the place to
exactly.
Be.
Like, I don't know. I mean, we're not in a lockdown where I live. You're in LA County's a complete lockdown,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. No, we're not a lockdown here. I'm still able to go out and do things if I wanted to. Like, I'm not doing it, but you know, we're not to that point just yet. So.
Yep. Enjoy the games and good luck to your picks, John. Thanks again for doing this. This has been a fun time.
Yeah, no problem, Dave. Anytime. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, best of luck to your action as well. Take care.
Thanks so much. All right, take care. That's going to be fun. That's John in Connecticut. Thanks again. And that's a show. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We hope you had enjoyed. We hope you enjoyed the program. This was definitely a good show to do. And it is important to remember that this is an unprecedented time in the NFL world where we have these six games. So, you know, things could get wacky. The one thing I forgot to mention before we leave the program tonight is that usually you get one underdog in this round to pull the outright upset. And I think John and I'm speaking on behalf of John, but I think he would agree that if you're going to pick a team to do that, it's going to be Washington. So watch for them on Saturday night. That's it for the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us all on Twitter at DidCal, on the web at DidCal.com. And look for us on Apple Podcasts if you're not subscribed already. Dave in the City Out West, look for that and you'll find our show. We appreciate your patronage once again. Welcome to 2021. We hope to be here for a long time. And we will see you next time.